Hello and welcome to Cubicles in Christ. Kelly Johnson, certified leadership coach and founder of Be Well My Soul, is on a mission to encourage and inspire you to be spiritually authentic and thrive in life. Let's join the conversation with Kelly now.
It's just what the doctor ordered. Today we are going to talk about spiritual authenticity in an industry that is often perceived as maybe anti-faith for some. And we're going to talk about the medical industry, one that for many is often perceived as very science and data driven. So my very special guest today that I'm delighted to share with you is Dr. LaJuan Chambers. She is a board certified and fellowship trained pediatrician. During her medical training, she actually began working with children in her church. She has been known to say that one of her goals is to make sure kids are healthy and that they stay healthy and productive throughout their adult lives. She is a pediatrician who's active in her faith and takes mission trips to third world countries. In her practice, Dr. Chambers focuses on developing healthy behaviors in children and their families. She looks out for common concerns like attention deficit and hyperactivity disorders, as well as obesity. She speaks Spanish, which often helps her relate to patients and families. And she's originally from Pittsburgh, but we're talking about Pittsburgh, Texas, folks. LaJuan, please welcome. We want to thank you for coming to the show. Thank you so much and really delighted to have you here today.
Thank you for having me, Kelly. It's been a delight to speak with you this morning.
Thank you. I'm really excited. I know that one of the things, and as you are aware, I thought would be helpful to some people is the fact that, you know, there's certain industries, maybe for engineers, obviously the medical profession, other industries where as a believer, some may feel challenged with being spiritually authentic in their workplace, in their profession, especially a profession that perhaps they feel like it's a part of their calling to help people be healthy. So I would just love to hear your thoughts about being spiritually authentic in the medical profession.
Yes, you know, I can remember vividly certain days during my medical training where my professors would, you know, allude to the fact that, you know, science needs to be verifiable and reproducible. And when it comes to being authentic in my, you know, Christian walk, I find that I believe God intended for faith and medicine and science to really go together. There is no science, of course, without God and without acknowledging the sovereignty of God. And so I believe that as a Christian physician, it's my duty to include and to involve God in my decisions about my patients and how to take care of them properly so that they can have a good outcome in the end. And I can just attest to the fact that I've taken care of patients whose parents were engineers and they need detail. And sometimes, you know, in giving them detail, I have to include the fact that, you know, I'm human and I don't know everything, but that with God, you know, I can use the wisdom that God gives me to take care of their child, you know, appropriately. So I believe strongly that God intends for faith and medicine to go hand in hand. And without that connection, we as physicians are very much hindered and not able to appropriately take care of the patients that God has formed in his own image. So that's my philosophy of practice is that, you know, I have to include the wisdom of God in practicing medicine.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Including the wisdom of God in your practice. That is so beautiful. And it sounds as if, you know, that awareness began when you were in, at least in medical training. How did you, LaJuan, really get practical with that? You know, how did that show up in the day-to-day, and what challenges did you experience as you were trying to sort of reconcile faith and medicine?
Right. You know, I think that, you know, people want to know that you're, first of all, aware of them and that you are concerned about them. And when I go in my patients' rooms, I try to look them in the eye and listen to their concerns and just be present and not be thinking about something else altogether different. But I think that as a physician who, you know, is very much aware that God is the source of all that I know and all that I, you know, am able to do and my strength and wisdom, that, you know, certainly I want my patients to feel and to know that I'm not just taking a scientific, you know, foundation. I'm also, you know, bringing in my Christian values of concern and love for, you know, others and esteeming others better than yourself. And so I want everyone to feel important, because they are, because they're, first and foremost, they're God's child, and, you know, they belong to God. And so if I mistreat a little one, he says I should be just tie a stone around my neck and be cast into the sea. And so he takes it seriously, you know, how we treat others. And so that makes me want to, you know, read, investigate, continue to learn about what he's put in my hands to do, and that's to take care of people. So it doesn't just stop with, you know, medical school. Unfortunately, I wish I could just put a book down and just keep going, but things are changing every day in healthcare. And there are, you know, struggles, there are pressures on both the physician and the patient. And so we have to consider all those things when, you know, we aspire to take care of other people.
You know, one of the inspirations for my blog, BeWellMySoul.com, is about being well, you know, 3 John 1 and 2. And, you know, with Cubicles in Christ, we do talk about spiritual authenticity, but our focus is also about thriving in life. And that's all areas, including our health and our wellness, our well-being. I'm curious, as you have been on this journey to practice medicine, to care for children and their families, how have you seen some of the benefits, some of the move of God, perhaps, in some of those experiences of you taking care of children?
You know, I think for me, one instance comes to mind very quickly when I think about how God has worked, and I've seen him work on behalf of my patients. I was a fellow at in a pediatric hematology and oncology program where I was learning to take care of patients that had blood disorders and cancer. And I can recall very vividly, I had a patient who was about 2 or 3 years of age at the time, and he had leukemia, a very aggressive leukemia at that. And the family spoke only Spanish. And at the time, I had very limited Spanish expertise, but I knew a few words. And this child became very, very sick in the course of his leukemia treatment and ended up in the intensive care unit at a large hospital. And I remember making rounds on him every single morning, and I would stand at the foot of his bed and just begin to pray for him. And I remember just God just miraculously just raised this little baby up. And I saw him, you know, 3 years later. He was then 5 years old, and he didn't know me. And he was like, he was afraid of me because he didn't know me. But I remembered him. And I remembered how God had saved his life miraculously. Wow. And that taught me then just, you know, how just faith in God and just believing God and just praying to God and asking him for what you desire, how he will act on that person's behalf if we pray. And wow. That just taught me that, you know, he wanted me to not just have book scientific knowledge, but he wanted me to incorporate my faith in him into my practice. And so that for me was a very life-changing, you know, event in my training. And I've, forever to this day, it's now been probably 10 years, but I still can remember that moment very vividly. So that for me was like awesome. Wow. And seeing God's power.
I love that. And I can even just hear still the emotion in your voice, and that comes to your heart and mind as you think about how God moved, and being able to, you know, just the privilege of being able to witness God move in that little boy's life. And you know, whenever I hear about someone who is in the hospital or really going through, you know, I do pray for the patient, the individual, but I try to always remember for the medical professionals who will be taking care of that person, because A, that they will have the wisdom to know what to do. But I appreciate what you are sharing right now, because it's given me even just a heightened level of awareness you know, God could be using situations like this to reveal some things to that nurse, to that doctor, to that CNA, or that nurse's aide. You know, God is always multi-purpose.
Exactly.
You know, it's never really about just that one person or that one thing.
Right.
He will use situations to touch so many people. And so in that moment, that little boy's, when that boy was healed, it touched him and his family, but it also touched you.
Exactly.
Which then influenced how you treat and interact with other patients.
Exactly. No, exactly right. I mean, you know, I think that we never know what God desires to do. But he just asks us to pray. He didn't ask us to, you know, to do the miracle. He just said, I need you to pray for the miracle. And, you know, and then he will, of his sovereign power and authority, work that miracle on behalf of that person. And not to give you a big head, but to give him glory. And so, you know, it's just amazing to me that, like you said, it's like it touches so many people when lives are transformed by God himself and by the word of God. So,
yes, maybe. Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about, I think I've heard this story before, about how you even chose medicine.
Oh my goodness.
You know, so many people that I coach and just different clients I have, often many of us are on this journey to understand our calling or our purpose.
Right, right.
And so I'm curious, what has your journey been like? Are you still discovering that? Where are you today and how did you even get to where you are now?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, this is a story I tell often, because I think that people need to know that that God plants within each of us. I believe and know that he plants within each of us his desire for our lives. And so it can begin as a little child sometimes, but in the course of life, you know, things happen and it can throw you off your perceived or destined course in life. And for me, growing up in a small town in East Texas, and my parents were not wealthy by any means, but, you know, lower middle class family, and going off to college. And before I went off to college, I was, you know, of course, like most teenage girls, you know, enthralled with guys and, oh, you know, he likes me and such. And so, you know, trying to be what others wanted me to be. You know, I really wanted to be a veterinarian when I was a child. And I love animals, and still to this day, I love animals. But, you know, was falling behind a young man, you know, in high mm-hmm. school and college and such. And, you know, ended up in college. And by that time, I decided that I couldn't be a veterinarian because that would require too much time. And, you know, and instead, I should probably just resort to, you know, being a teacher, which is a great profession. My mom's a teacher for 35 years, but it wasn't what God wanted me to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And so my professors at my undergraduate university said, oh, you should be a doctor. I'm like, what? So long story short, you know, by the time it was all said and done, I had taken the medical college admission test, you know, applied to medical school. And I looked up one day, and there I was sitting in a medical school class. And I'm like, what am I doing here? So, you know, being impressionable 20-year-old, you know, some people mature sooner than other people do. And I just was a very late bloomer. You know, I just would go along. I went along with the expected course that I had been given by, you know, someone else. And so you look up and you go through the first year of medical school, second, third year of medical school, and you end up in your last year, and you're now, you know, $70,000 in debt. So really, you can't turn back at that point. You have to keep going, and or so I thought anyway. And so anyway, I ended up finishing medical school and going on. And I look up one day, I'm like, hey, hang on, I want to be a veterinarian. Why am I a physician and I want to be a veterinarian? But it's taken me, I think, up until probably the last year or two, maybe even I would say 6 months, in the last 6 months, I'm being very honest, that to recognize that, you know what, God does not make a mistake. He does not allow things in our lives just for no good reason. I mean, he has a purpose for everything. And I realize that now, you know, I could be a veterinarian. That would be great, you know, wonderful. But as a physician, I realized that now I'm like, God, you know, has allowed me this position for a certain purpose. And I'm trying every day to just further determine what his purpose is for me being in this position. And because I've seen his handiwork and his glory in this position, you know, I know that it's meant to teach me something. And so I'm in the classroom of God basically every day. You know, like, okay, what's going on? Wait, teach me today, you know, God, about this. And so I've learned. I was a very introverted person as a child, very shy. And so through this, my current job, I'm learning how to just approach all kinds of people and how to talk to all kinds of people from all walks of life, different cultures, different age groups, different generations. And it for me has been very eye-opening, spiritually very awakening for me. And I never would have gotten that, I don't think, in some country dairy, you know, cow farm in East Texas. So I have to look at it kind of like, I think like Joseph, where, you know, he ended up in a place where he was not a native, but in that place, you know, God, you know, gave him levels of authority or levels of just blessing him in a place that he was not native to. And I think that God wants us all to just be like, just, you know, God, here I am, and just stretch me however you want to stretch me, and use me to, you know, your advantage, and just get the glory out of my life. And if I ended up in a cow barn or in a, you know, a hospital, either place, he's going to get the glory, you know. So that's kind of a long story short, hopefully, and yeah. Make some sense along the way, but.
Amen. No, it absolutely makes sense. And I believe God will eventually bring us to a place where we are not native. Yes. Because it's in those moments of being uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or maybe even in pain. situations where we're not native often create a level of desperation where we cry out to God on a much deeper level. And so just want to give a word of encouragement for anyone who is uncomfortable right now, someone who is in an unfamiliar, uncomfortable situation. As much as you can, ask for the Lord to help you embrace that place, that season, that Egypt that you're in, that wilderness season that you're in right now, because there's a lesson in it and there's a purpose in it. And so I just appreciate you, LaJuan, for bringing that up. I think there's a couple of other key points that I really want people to hone in on that you made. God plants his desire for your life, usually at a very early age. I can totally relate to that. I have had an entrepreneurial spirit since I was 16. Seriously. And God used my corporate experiences, my corporate accomplishments to develop me for where I am. But I've always had that little seed of wanting to be a business owner. Even the Lord this week has been speaking to me about how the desires that we have, where do they come from? They come from him most of the time. Now, yes, they need to be pressure tested by the word of God and by prayer, sometimes by fasting, because the word says that our hearts are wicked, desperately wicked and deceitful. So we have to be careful. But often those desires that we just can't seem to let go, we really need to be praying about that and making sure, Lord, is this you or is this me? And then I love what you said that, you know, God does not make a mistake. Everything has purpose. Everything has intention. Right. We don't always see it while we're walking that journey out. But the important thing is we have to keep walking. I can see where your training is really showing up, your seminary training, which is something that I want to touch on a bit. I know you're in seminary right now. What led you to that? And what are you gaining from that experience right now?
You know, that's really amazing. I think, well, I guess for me, it's probably been on my heart to just dive deep into the Word of God for about 10 years, probably, or more. Financially, I never thought I would be able to do it, you know, having school loan debt to, out the door and such. But you know, God kept, you know, impressing upon my heart, you know, I need you to do this. And I'm like, but God, I've already had, you know, 10 years of school. I just can't I really just can't find it in my brain cell to add any more to this. But, you know, when God starts to kind of work in your life and you see him, you know, orchestrating things in your life, you can't help but to inquire more. It's kind of like, you know, putting a little carrot on a stick and it's like, hey, look, here's more if you want it. Years ago now, it's been, I just embarked upon this journey and it's been a slow process for me. I haven't been taking a full course load each semester, but just slowly just diving into the Word of God through seminary. And it's just given me a deeper appreciation for the history of the Bible and just, where it all started, where Christianity all started and how we got to where we are today. Again, just having a greater appreciation for the spiritual authenticity of the Bible, you know, because people believe that the Bible can't be trusted, you know, and when we look at it and, you know, as a literary genre, as they say, you know, and I'm looking at it from, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, it's just God revealing himself. And when you love God, when you have given your life to God and you're trying to walk this thing out called life, can't help but want to know more about him and about his plan for not only your own life, but for this world that he's created. And so, and to give people hope. For me, it's a way to be able to have more information and ammunition against the spirit of darkness of this world and how to give people hope that are looking for hope. And so, that's kind of how I got there, and I don't know, and I'm not sure where I'll end up eventually, but, you know, I just want to just immerse myself in the Word.
Mm. And we know, you know, God is always up to something great, so I can't wait to see what all God has in store for you. And I think hearing your journey and what led you to seminary kind of makes me think about how I love reading.
Yeah.
And I pretty much have almost always loved reading, wow, even in high school. But I read fiction, trashy stuff, you know, romance novels, and thank God for redemption, right? Because God has redeemed my reading, okay? And I am thankful for that. And it really didn't hit me until I just heard you talk about your journey of wanting to go deeper. I have turned my appetite for reading into, you know, Christian spiritual mm-hmm. development books. And mm-hmm. I always love to hear what books beyond the Bible have really transformed someone's life. And obviously being in school right now, you're doing a lot of reading. So is there anything that comes to mind for you that you want to share with our listeners?
Sure. You know, I think that I will have to always say that the Bible has transformed my life.
Right.
And I'm like you, and I'll put this plug in really quickly right now, in that, you know, my life was totally topsy-turvy, upside down, in sin. And only by the grace of God and by faith in God and just by the Word of God have I been able to experience the peace of God in my life. And so I thank God for the Word of God, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. But I will say that Jim Cimbala's book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, I read just recently. It's been out for a while. And I learned about the book via a class I was taking in my seminary training. The young man mentioned it, recommended that we read it. And so I said, okay, I'll read it, you know. And I got to reading this book, and it just grabbed hold of me. And just hearing about, again, the power of prayer and the power of persistent prayer in the life of the believer. And so that book, I think, really has changed my life regarding the need for persistent prayer and faith in God to do what we think is impossible. Mm-hmm. So it just really bolstered my faith.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I love how God works, you know, full transparency. I didn't know that you had just finished reading this book. Yeah. I read it towards the end of last year and have since read several of his other books. And uh-huh. So I just love how God connects dots.
Yes.
we just have to be obedient. You know, that book was transformational for me as well. Yeah. About prayer, but even I think what I took away from it, being involved in a level of ministry leadership, mm-hmm. I think I took away just the role of prayer in ministry,
right,
and how it really is the backbone of ministry and the direction of a church that you are involved in. Mm-hmm. And so that was a key takeaway for me, but definitely just a wonderful reminder of the power of prayer, how we do have to be persistent, but that we have to just flat out believe.
Right.
We have to believe that He is God and a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so, I highly encourage everyone to take a look at that book. I'm going to include a link to that book in the show notes.
Great.
So people can access it on Amazon and hopefully pick up a copy soon. We're going to close out in a moment, and I would love it if you would join me in praying in just a second. But absolutely, I know people will be blessed by your story. You early on in our conversation today, before we started the session, talked to me about how you like reading biographies. Will you share that just for a second?
I was just saying that, you know, in reading a biography of someone else, you know, we have a tendency to feel as though we are the only person that has ever gone through anything in life, and that because of where we are, we cannot be redeemed. And so when I read biographies of people who actually have gone through things that were seemingly insurmountable circumstances, that they found themselves in the very, very pit of a deep, dark place. And in that moment, they found redemption that can only be given and gifted by God. That encourages me to know that God sees where we are, and he has not turned his back on us or turned a blind eye to us, that he's aware of where we are, our circumstances, our situations, and that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works within us, the Spirit of God that works within us. And so when I read a biography of someone else, it encourages me to just keep believing God, to keep being persistent in prayer, and to just keep knowing that our God is aware of exactly where we are.
Amen. Amen. Ooh, yes. I pray that this show, Cubicles in Christ, will be a form of a biography, you know, getting a glimpse and a peek into the journey to become spiritually authentic as a Christian, as a believer. We are in some very, as my grandmother says, we are in some crucial times.
Exactly.
Yes, and, you know, my grandmother says that all the time. And we really are in some crucial times. And I believe with the amount of time that we spend at work, you know, if you think about how much time we spend at church, some of us don't go to church consistently, but let's say if you do, you're maybe getting 2 hours a week in church. But at a minimum, we're often spending 40 to 50 hours a week in our workplaces, sometimes longer. And so I really believe through Cubicles in Christ, we are getting a glimpse into the journey to showing up in our workplaces as God would want us to. And it's a process. I don't think that there is a light switch. At least it wasn't for me. And so I feel so inspired to share stories like yours and share other stories to help other believers. And maybe even, you know, hopefully we'll touch some of those who are not yet believers. To let them know that it is possible to do this thing called life and still be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just appreciate you sharing a bit of your biography today. And I I love your perspective on how we can learn lessons from others. Before we go into prayer, just a couple of quick announcements. We want to hear from our listeners. And so please write me, send me an email. If you have a topic or an idea that you want to hear more about, please send me an email. You can reach me through bewellmysoul.com. And then also on that same line of hearing other stories, you will find a survey on bewellmysoul.com that's related to faith in the workplace. I invite you to take that survey. It literally takes 4 minutes. So I promise it's short and simple, but I really want to understand each of you and your journey towards spiritual authenticity in the workplace. The survey is really designed to capture your thoughts, your challenges, your struggles, what you're looking for. Just very driven around this topic and would appreciate you participating in the survey. Okay, so Luan, would you like to maybe lead the prayer?
Sure.
Okay.
Love to.
Thank you.
Thank you, God, for today. And thank you for Kelly and this Cubicles in Christ podcast. Thank you for every listener, God, every supporter, God, of this ministry. And thank you, God, for just showing yourself strong, God, in all of our lives. God, we believe you, God. We trust you. God, we love you and we adore you, oh God. And we thank you, God, for just manifesting yourself in our life and just helping us, oh God, to shed forth the light of Christ in the workplace, and let us be an example, O God, of your handiwork in the earth, O God. To you we give our glory, honor, and praise. On this day we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, LaJuan. I've really enjoyed our time together.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. God bless you, and God bless you to all of the listeners.
Thank you for joining this episode of Cubicles in Christ. Be sure to visit bewellmysoul.com for fresh biblical inspiration and practical ideas to thrive in life. May you grow in peace, love, and soul prosperity.